from the Seven Feathers Casino Studio, KQEN weather. Sunny today with a high of 57 and clouds rolling in tonight, and cold with an overnight low of 36. We got some fog and frost tomorrow morning, but otherwise sunny, should be near 60. It is currently 54 degrees. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon, Inside Douglas County. It is 12:35. I'm Ashley Claiborne in for Kyle Bailey, and we're going to talk about all things COVID and COVID-related right here locally in Inside Douglas County, along with Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Dannenhofer.
Well, thank you for having me back.
Anytime. We like getting that information straight from the source. So first of all, you have been doing these updates regularly. What is the pattern, or at least the kind of arc that you've seen since the beginning of COVID up to now with these kind of updates that we've been continuously getting?
Well, it's been kind of a roller coaster ride. There were a few small bumps in the beginning. We then had an enormous bump in August and September of this year, but now we're clearly on the downward slope.
Yes, and a lot of people having some questions about the current surge that we've seen. But we'll just rewind a little bit and get back to Douglas County going through the COVID situation, and how does it look different in rural Oregon where we are, as opposed to, like you said, that same roller coaster with the bigger cities, Eugene, Portland, more metro areas.
So the roller coaster looks a little different no matter where you're at. So for example, the East Coast had lots of cases last year, but they've been relatively flat this summer, whereas Douglas County did not have a lot of cases early on, but we certainly had more than our share in August, September, and early October. A lot of that has to do with the level of vaccination. People in rural areas tend to be less fully vaccinated than people in urban areas. And in those urban areas, they had a lot of cases early on, so some people developed natural immunity. When we got to August of this year, we had a relatively low vaccination rate and almost no natural immunity, so we really got socked.
And now you're saying that difference of the rural communities not being as vaccinated or having as high numbers. So what are some of the barriers in rural Oregon to getting those vaccination numbers up?
So early on, the barriers were getting enough vaccine to enough people. But by about April of this year, we had a lot of vaccine and a lot of places to get it. It has been just, I think, a personal reluctance by many people in Douglas County to get vaccinated. So about 57% of our adult population is vaccinated, which is pretty good. But that means that there's 43% of our adult population who's eligible for the vaccine, who pretty much chosen not to be vaccinated.
And as a medical professional in Douglas County, I mean, you must be seeing these people and getting to speak with them in person. What is some of their reasoning behind that resistance?
Well, some of the resistance is that they don't trust the government, and they don't trust big science, and they don't trust pharma to come up with a safe and effective vaccine. And so I think it's a lack of trust in institutions that's leading to that many people not wanting to be vaccinated.
And have you been seeing any of those people change their minds and decide to get the vaccine?
I think we have. I think as more and more people get the vaccine and they see that it's safe and effective, I think we're being able to convince more people to get it. So, for example, in the hospital today, there were 44 people in the hospital. 41 of the 44 were not vaccinated. And since, as I said, over half of the adult population is vaccinated, your risk of being hospitalized is 15 times higher than if you are vaccinated. So if you're not vaccinated, the risk is 15 times that of those who are vaccinated. So it really is protective, and we really wish people would get it.
Well, and mentioning the risk, like you said, one of those barriers I've been hearing is the risk of an adverse reaction. But it sounds like what you're saying is that even that being a valid risk, that the risk of being sick from COVID is outweighing that smaller risk. Is that correct?
Right. So the risk of being hospitalized from an infection is high. We've had several hundred hospitalizations since the beginning of August. As best we can tell, we don't have a single hospitalization from the vaccine. So You know, it's so much riskier to have the disease than to get the vaccine. Now, there are some side effects from the vaccine, undoubtedly, but the risk of the disease is so much higher.
Well, and as the vaccine has rolled out in Douglas County, and we've seen adults, you know, originally in the very beginning, the older adults, the adults with special needs or special health needs aside, and then kind of getting to where it was available widely for all adults. Now we're seeing kids as young as 12. What in Douglas County, what are we seeing as far as that age getting younger or more people being allowed, I should say, to get that vaccine?
Well, we're seeing good uptake of the vaccine in all age groups. Our best uptake has been in the older people and has been lower as you get younger. But that's about what we would expect. I mean, younger people have a much lower risk from getting the disease than older people. But we still have a bunch of people 60 and above who are not vaccinated.
And is that slowing our recovery rates as far, or not recovery as in the virus, but our dipping from that roller coaster, that coming down, is that what's kind of holding that up?
Yes. So almost all of our cases now are among the unvaccinated, and certainly almost all of our hospitalizations are among the unvaccinated. So really it is the unvaccinated that is allowing this surge to continue.
Now, as schools were starting back up in the last month and a half or so, people very concerned that that was going to prolong or even cause a larger surge. Have you seen anything really connected with children or schools being a place of infectious sites?
So we very carefully follow school outbreaks. And almost all of our schools have had some cases. But then when we look to see if the disease spread at school, it's pretty hard to find any spread in the classroom. Now, there is clearly some spread from staff to staff member. There's clearly some spread among sports teams. So one person on the team gets it, and then other people on the team get it. But in general, schools have not been a big source of spread. The biggest source of spread is in the household, not surprisingly. And then after that comes workplaces, especially workplaces where there are a large number of unvaccinated people.
And in those workplaces, is that something where people are still being encouraged to work from home if possible? Or I'm seeing a lot of offices really trying to get people back into the office. How would you recommend that businesses kind of go about finding that balance?
Well, it is a tough balance to find. Actually, most of the places we've seen where there are outbreaks are places that you can't work from home. The mills, restaurants, grocery stores, all places where you really can't work from home. What we generally say is if you can easily work from home, you should do it. If you can't easily work from home, then you should take precautions at work. And the precautions at work are going to be avoiding the gatherings. And when we looked at our previous outbreaks, they were typically, we don't think a lot of people got it at the place they were working, but then they gathered for lunch or gathered for breaks or gathered for meetings. And this is where we thought the spread occurred.
And so protecting ourselves, some of those things that we know and have seen recommended include masking, social distancing, hand washing, and proper hygiene. Is there anything that's new that's come to light of ways that we can better protect ourselves as we're having to kind of get back to work and get back out there?
It's not really new, but it's important, and that is to stay home when you're sick. In many of these outbreaks, what we've seen is that somebody was sick, went to work for a day or two, then got really sick, got diagnosed with COVID. But in that 1 or 2 days was when they were starting to be sick with COVID. We think you're actually the most contagious. And in many cases, it was sick people at work who spread the disease.
And over the last few weeks of reporting and the numbers that we've been seeing come down, is that a trend that you're expecting to continue seeing? Or is it something where as the weather gets worse and people start to go inside and gather again, we might see another spike?
We might see another spike. I don't think it's going to be quite like the big spike we saw in August and September, but we certainly could go up. We're now at about 30 cases per 100,000 per day. So in Douglas County, 30 or 40 cases a day. And that certainly could go up as people gather and as people do things like we do in the fall, such as family gatherings for holidays, such as big parties when people watch ball games and such like that. So we do still want people to be careful about those things where lots of people gather, especially when they gather indoors.
And these new numbers that you're talking about coming out on the daily cases, is there a way to differentiate if those are coming from the Delta variant that we know was a big part of the spike, or more of the original variant, or are there new variants that we need to be worried about?
So over the last 8 weeks or so, almost every case in Oregon has been the Delta variant. And so we send a representative sample of ours away to be sequenced, and they've all been Delta. So right now, Delta seems to be the predominant variant in almost all of the world. However, there are some new variants that we do worry about. There's one from South America. There's one called the Mu variant. Both of those are dangerous because the vaccine works less well for those variants. But those variants have not been able to overtake Delta, which has really become the king of the variants.
And the vaccine, I have had people asking me that current vaccine situation as far as the two set dose, or that single Johnson & Johnson, is that very effective against the Delta, or is it somehow less effective than originally thought?
So it's about, in each of those, it's about 10% less effective than the vaccines were against the original virus. It's still very effective. So when we look, for example, at Mercy, it's about 75% protective in getting the disease and over 90% protective in being hospitalized or dying. So still very effective, but less effective than it was against the original variants. And that's why we want to knock down the number of cases so that if there's a new variant that comes in, that we're not overloaded by it.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We're with we're on Inside Douglas County with Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. We're talking about COVID-19 in Douglas County. We're going to take a quick break and come back, and we'll talk about vaccine opportunities right here in Douglas County available to the entire community for free. But we'll take a break on Inside Douglas County and come back shortly with Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. I'm Ashley Claiborne with News Radio 1240 KQEN. We are back on Inside Douglas County. It's 1248, and we're talking about all things COVID related to Douglas County. And we're talking, of course, with Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, the leading authority in the area, about that. And so, Dr. Bob, we've talked a little bit about some of those causes of why people may or may not be deciding to get vaccinated and how we are seeing those vaccination numbers go up. And at the same time, some of those numbers go down. So the most recent numbers, I'm curious, have you had a chance to look at those, and what kind of picture do they paint as opposed to the previous week or two's numbers?
So every week we're adding about 500 to 1,000 new vaccinees, and then we're adding another 1,000 doses or so for people who are getting their second dose, or more recently for those people who are getting the booster. So we're still doing a lot of vaccines. Vaccines are available at almost all of the pharmacies. Vaccines are available at most of the doctor's offices in town. And this week, in a cooperative effort with FEMA, OHA, and the county, there's a drive-through testing and vaccination clinic where you can get any of the Pfizer vaccines. You can get flu vaccine. You can get tested. It's in the parking lot across Fowler Street from the library. Very easy. They have a beautiful setup. So if anybody's on the fence about getting a vaccine, this is the way to do it. It's a drive-through. It's quick. It's fast. It's high-quality, safe, and effective vaccines.
And is that something where people should call ahead and register, or they can just pull up when they get there?
No need to call ahead. Just pull right up, and they'll do you. I was there yesterday, and they had a steady flow of people. It's really going to be a great opportunity for people to get caught up on their flu shots if they want a flu shot, or if they need a first or second dose of the vaccine.
And when you were there, did you see how quickly people were getting through? Is there like maybe a half hour estimation if you go, or is it hard to tell at this point?
There was no wait. So they're closed today, but they'll be open starting at 11 o'clock tomorrow. So starting tomorrow, 11 to 6 each day, except for next Monday until the 22nd. And you can get any of the available vaccines there, or a flu vaccine, or get tested, or all of it.
So kind of a one-stop shop when it comes to COVID and flu season.
It could barely be easier.
And it seems like if you're able to do that, say, even on your lunch break, it's right in town next to the Douglas County Library. And is there anything else, any anything else that people can do or know to be prepared for that, maybe a website or something?
So you can look at our website, or you can look at the Douglas County website, and we have all of the details there. But really, we're trying to make it as low barrier as possible. No money changes hands, just a little bit of basic information, and you're good to go.
Very nice. So I have to ask, just because now we're at what, I think I lost count, I want to say month 18 of COVID.
Yeah,
but aside from, so with how long we've been going through it and you've been at the forefront of it this whole time, how has this experience been for you personally as you've gone through COVID with Douglas County?
Well, it's been one of the most memorable experiences in my life, sort of tying together many of the things that I'd done in the past, such as my military experience in arranging big events, my pediatric experience in the infectious disease, and my experience working with governmental systems like Medicaid, so that we could put that all together. And it's really been a pretty amazing experience. Having been there from the beginning and learning all the things that we've learned about this virus in 18 months, it's pretty amazing. And what I do see is every day people expressing gratitude. I just was at the grocery store this morning, and somebody who I didn't know came up to me and said, thank you for all you've done. Thank you for doing the vaccines. I got the vaccine, and I've been safe since I've had it. So that's really quite gratifying.
And also, beyond just the updates, too, you've had a great series of videos that you've put out over social media. Are those still continuing?
They are continuing, and we'll be doing another one this Thursday. I think we're going to try and do it with somebody from the FEMA effort. And so we'll try and have another one for you by Friday morning.
And are there other ways that you're keeping information kind of open and flowing to the people in Douglas County? Because residents sometimes, like you were saying earlier, can have an issue with distrust of certain areas that they're getting their information. So how are you kind of bridging that barrier?
Well, we'll answer anybody's questions if they can submit them at facebookquestions@douglaspublichealthnetwork.org. We'll get to those questions. So people will have questions about the vaccine or ingredients or some other thing, and we'll try and answer them the best they can. I know there's a lot of distrust of government and institutions, but I've been here for 30 years, so I've been somebody who's really been involved and have taken care of many of the kids in town. So I think this is hopefully we can be a trusted source.
And as you said, you've been a pediatrician for so long. I bet some of those kids are even adults now and are some of the ones that you're having to have these conversations with about getting the vaccine or about misinformation or things like that. And how has that been going from seeing these little kids that you treated as their pediatrician up to adults that are now making decisions about COVID-19?
It really is the experience of a lifetime. And many of the people who are working on the COVID effort are kids I took care of when they were babies. And so now they were babies, now they've grown up, and now they are helping to lead the fight. So a number of the people we've hired at DPHN are kids I cared for when they were babies.
It all comes back around in a small community like ours in Douglas County, doesn't it?
It surely does.
Well, and speaking of a small community, so we've been talking about these COVID numbers. We've talked about the percentages and some of those risk factors. But really, when we look at the overall numbers, which I haven't seen the most recent one yet today, I haven't made it back to my desk, but the numbers from Thursday and Friday showing, you know, over 11,000. Now, in a percentage-wise to what we have here in Douglas County per capita, so how many people, what percentage of Douglas County are we seeing that has had or had symptoms of COVID-19?
About 1 in 10. So just this last 2 weeks, we passed 1 in 10. So 10% of the population has had it. We know that there are the people that have had it. We don't know about it because maybe they were asymptomatic or for whatever reason didn't get a test. But we know that at least 10% of our population now has had the disease, and over 200 people have died. And so when we look at that, early on, it was just a few deaths and many people didn't know anybody who's died. But at this point now, with over 200 people dying, these are all people we know about. These are people who are friends or friends of friends. These are people we've worked with or people we've gone to church with. So it's now really starting to hit home.
Absolutely. It seems almost impossible now to meet somebody or talk to somebody who hasn't had COVID, somehow reach them in either with a family member getting it or themselves or something like that. So, yeah, I am very surprised to hear that it's 10%. That's a lot.
That is a lot. I mean, when you consider other diseases that we have that go through the community, the numbers are so much smaller. So we worried about Ebola and we worried about Zika. We never had a single case of Ebola here. And of Zika, we had just a very few people. Mostly people came from other areas who had Zika. So we worried about those, but those affected just a fraction of the people that have been affected by COVID. COVID has really been far and away the worst pandemic in 100 years.
But hopefully those numbers looking up. We have about a minute left. And Dr. Bob, would you give us one more runaround of it, or one more run through, I should say, of the vaccine options available to Douglas County residents?
So there are a lot of great vaccine options. Almost all of the pharmacies have vaccine. Almost all of the clinics have vaccine. And starting yesterday and starting again tomorrow, there's going to be a drive-through clinic that gives both the COVID vaccines and the flu vaccine and can also do COVID testing. They're going to be there every day except next Monday from 11 to 6. It's totally free and very well set up, very efficient, in the parking lot across Fowler Street from the Roseburg Library.
And for those people who might have those questions about COVID-19 or about the vaccinations that they just really want to ask a trusted member of the local medical community like yourself or maybe their own doctors or just somebody that they can trust, who would you recommend or what number or website can they go to?
So best would be to do it by email at facebookquestions@douglaspublichealthnetwork.org. Again, that's facebookquestions@douglaspublichealthnetwork.org, and we'll get back to you on the questions.
Dr. Bob Dannenhofer in with us today on Inside Douglas County. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we will talk to you again next week and get those updates. Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, and that's been your Inside Douglas County for today. KQEN News Time is 12:58.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.